Chapter 1. Louvre Museum, Paris, July 26, 1981. In the heat of summer, Renaissance restorer Bernard Martino entered the Louvre and forced his way down the seemingly endless corridor of vaulted archways in a hurry. His loose white shirt clung to his back in places as he pushed through the masses of sweaty tourists that followed like a sluggish river through the galleries. In the distance of the Denon Wing loomed the gateway to the Louvre's most popular section, La Grande Galerie, which housed the most valuable Italian masterpieces of all time. Bernard panted with the effort of forcing his unfit, slightly overweight 40-year-old frame through the crowds.
"Hey, slow down!"
shouted an American who was shoved to one side as Bernard charged past.
"What's the hurry?"
Bernard ignored the man's outburst and continued clearing a path for himself. His round face was now drenched in sweat, and his breathing became more ragged with each stride as he reached the Winged Victory of Samothrace, a Greek marble statue which dated back to 190 BC and connected the Denon Wing with the Sully Wing. He stopped to take a breath, his eyes darting upward to the security cameras mounted high on the walls, turning to capture his every move.
"Fuck you,"
he muttered with a rude hand gesture to the nearest camera, his tone filled with menace.
"You destroyed my life today, and that's why I'm going to destroy yours."
All of a sudden, a message was played over the Louvre's PA system in French.
"This is an announcement for Mr. Bernard Martino. Stay where you are, and we will come to collect you. I repeat, stay where you are. Thank you."
Bernard sighed, glancing back down the hallway to see three of the Louvre's personal guards in their blue uniforms fast approaching from the reception area. Their boots thumped the marble floor as they ran toward him. Bernard knew their orders would have been simple, to stop him at any cost. A whistle was blown, and the throng of people moved over to one side to create a rift for the guards to pass through. They looked like Marines, all with clipped hair, over 6 feet tall, and armed with Glock 9mm semi-automatic pistols in their holsters. They were dressed in navy from head to toe and had large white police insignia emblazoned on their backs. Also in view were white communications earpieces that hung down from their left ears and disappeared into their jackets. Bernard took stock and then began to race up the stairs to a blur of beautiful ceilings.
"Today, I will reveal the lie," he shouted. "No more lies!"
In his left-gloved hand, he held a bottle of San Pellegrino mineral water, and in his right, a set of keys that dangled down from a circular keychain. One particular key hung lower than the others due to its longer neck. Its shiny, rich gold surface looked like it belonged in a keyhole of grave importance.
"Stop, Martino! Or we'll be forced to take further measures," shouted the senior guard in French, who sported a 5 o'clock shadow on his chiseled face.
He led the two other men as they passed the Winged Victory of Samothrace and hit the stairs, his hand hovering near his holster.
"I can't see him,"
the French guard said into his radio mouthpiece.
"There are too many people.
He must be heading for the Salle d'Etat. We have a code red situation, I repeat. Code red."
At the end of the hall, Bernard turned right through the wooden-framed doors of the Salle d'Etat, the large rectangular chamber that housed the Mona Lisa. He turned to the northwestern wall. A cluster of tourists were lined up to see Leonardo da Vinci's most famous work, what the French like to call La Joconde. He sprinted forward, pushing through the people like Moses parting the Red Sea.
"Hey, wait your turn,"
shouted an elderly lady with thick-framed glasses in English.
"Kajai, tu,"
spoke a Chinese man, shaking his head, clearly not happy. But Bernard didn't care. Today, he needed to do something. As he reached the front of the queue, he saw the Mona Lisa in all its glory, set into a raw sandy wall 6 feet from where he stood. It sat behind two wooden barriers inside a vitrine. Facing the painting, Bernard ducked under the first curved wooden barrier, then slid under the wooden benchtop that sat beneath the Mona Lisa. He could hear the puzzled murmurs coming from the crowd of people around him.
"What's Mark there? He can't go over there.
Concealed in front of him on the wall was a cream cover plate. He flipped it open to reveal a unique keyhole. With shaking fingers, he took out the gold key and slid it into the hole, turning it clockwise. Instantly, the bulletproof glass panel protecting the priceless Mona Lisa tilted upward. Following the grooves in the wall and the high ceiling, it ascended smoothly, exposing the oil painting. There were gasps of astonishment from the crowd as they noticed the moving glass. For security reasons, only a handful of people were privileged to see how the Mona Lisa was extracted to be restored and cleaned before being placed back on display. And now hundreds of people had witnessed it. Bernard quickly slid out from under the wooden bench and began to unscrew the lid on his water bottle using his gloved hand, careful not to spill the contents.
"What's he doing?"
asked a young female tourist with a Canon DSLR camera strapped around her neck. At that moment, the three guards entered the room with their weapons raised and ready to fire. Bernard turned to see their widening eyes as they saw the precious Mona Lisa was exposed and vulnerable.
"Stop!"
shouted the senior guard in French, his gun aimed at Bernard's chest.
"Put the bottle down!"
Screams of panic erupted from the 100-odd tourists jostling for position. Most of them dropped to the famous parquet floor, while the tourists near the entrance sprinted down the hallway, causing panic along the Danan wing. People outside the Salle d'Etat, who had heard the screams, must have thought it was some kind of terrorist attack, as they began bolting for their lives to safety outside the glass pyramid. There was chaos as men and women tripped over each other trying to escape. Bernard took this dispassionately. He no longer cared.
"Behold, the famous painting,"
he said, pointing to it, and felt a wave of pride wash over him at what he had achieved over the years. It was truly his best work, and yet the Mona Lisa's enigmatic smile now hung unprotected, laid bare by a man who wanted to destroy it.
"Don't do it,"
said the lead guard. Bernard continued to speak, his voice booming across the room.
"Painted by the famous Leonardo da Vinci,"
he said theatrically.
"Stop!"
the guard warned once more, his voice strong and direct.
"We'll be forced to shoot you!"
"You have all been deceived," said Bernard, motioning his arm backwards while holding the bottle tightly, ready to move it forward and splash the contents all over the masterpiece in front of him.
"No! Put the bottle down! You move again, and we will shoot!"
Bernard began to weep. He knew there was no going back from this.
"I will show you the truth,"
he cried.
"Your Louvre curator, Pierre Savard, a man I thought was my friend, has betrayed you, just as he has betrayed me." "Hand the bottle over,"
said the guard again.
"He doesn't want you to know,"
said Bernard. The guard touched his ear as if someone on the other end had given him instructions. His eyes burned into Bernard's.
"I have been ordered to shoot you if you continue."
Bernard smiled sarcastically at the guard.
"Pierre Savard, the man in your ear wants to keep me quiet because he doesn't want the world to know that the Mona Lisa is..."
Bernard didn't finish that sentence. A single bullet was fired into his abdomen, causing him to drop to his knees before he had a chance to fling the contents of the bottle onto the exposed painting. The water bottle fell out of his hand and rolled onto the freshly waxed timber floor. A sharp, strong smell was suddenly present in the room.
"Assit,"
said the senior guard, who positioned himself above the injured man's body with his weapon trained on him.
"Target is down."
Bernard's bloody hands held tight onto his torn torso as he fell to one side like a heavy bag of potatoes. He could feel his life slowly draining away. Little by little, his eyelids began to close as the urge to go on faded. He was going to die beneath the painting he had spent most of his life restoring, the painting he'd tried so hard to protect. Perhaps that was only right. With one last whimper, Bernard mumbled something. His lips struggled to move as his eyes closed, but his final words came out in a whisper not loud enough for anyone to hear.
It's a fake.